A developer downloaded a VS Code extension. GitHub lost 3,800 internal repositories, and now Lapsus Dollars is back, selling the data for $95,000. That's your Thursday.
Welcome to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen. With me, as always, is Jordan Reeves. It's May 21st, 2026, and if you're a CISO right now, your developer toolchain just became your most urgent attack surface. We've got the GitHub breach, a supply chain gang operating at unprecedented scale, a Microsoft malware signing takedown, Sonic Wall MFA bypasses tied to ransomware, the Xi-Putin tech alignment pact and what it means for your vendor strategy, European governments abandoning Signal, and a law enforcement win in the criminal VPN space. Let's move.
Let's start with a story that's going to dominate your weekend. GitHub got hit. Roughly 3,800 internal repositories were exfiltrated after a single developer installed a poisoned VS Code extension, specifically a compromised version of NX Console. The root cause traces back to a TanStack NPM package that had been tampered with as part of a broader supply chain worm. Team PCP, now tracked as UNC6780 by threat intelligence teams, is apparently cooperating with Lapsus Dollars to sell the stolen data for $95,000.
And let's be precise about why this one stings. This isn't a zero-day. This isn't a nation-state zero-click exploit. A developer installed an extension from what appeared to be a legitimate source in the VS Code marketplace, and that was enough to compromise one of the most security-conscious engineering organizations on the planet. If you're a CISO and you don't have a policy governing IDE extensions, you have a gap.
Team PCP has been running what researchers are calling the mini Xi-Hulud supply chain worm, at least 7 waves of it since March. The scale is genuinely unusual. Hundreds of organizations hit, and the sophistication is real. They're forging valid cryptographic provenance on malicious packages. So your software composition analysis tools may be telling you everything is signed and clean and being technically correct, while being completely wrong.
That's the part that should concern boards. We've spent years telling leadership that signed software equals trusted software. Team PCP just invalidated that assumption at scale. If you have an SBOM program, and you should, audit it now. Not for presence of packages, but for integrity of the signing chain. And if you're running open source dependencies without a formal review process for transitive dependencies, this week is the week to start that conversation with your engineering leadership.
Grafana Labs was also caught in this, so it's not GitHub specific. It's a broad ecosystem compromise, and the blast radius is still being assessed.
Connected to that ecosystem story, Microsoft this week disclosed it took down a threat actor called Fox Tempest, which had been running a malware signing as a service operation. And here's the part that matters. They weaponized Microsoft's own artifact signing system to get valid Microsoft signatures on malicious code. So we have two separate threat actors in the same week demonstrating that code signing infrastructure is now an active target.
This is the logical endpoint of the trust chain being exploited. Defenders built controls that say verified signature equals permitted execution. Attackers spent years figuring out how to get verified signatures. They've now figured it out. The policy implication is that signature verification is necessary but not sufficient. You need behavioral controls downstream. You need runtime monitoring. A signature check at the perimeter is not the end of the story anymore.
Patch note for anyone running Sonic Wall Gen 6 SSL VPN appliances. And there are a lot of them. Active exploitation is occurring right now. Attackers are brute-forcing VPN credentials and then bypassing MFA because Sonic Wall's patches were incomplete. The outcome is ransomware deployment. This is not a theoretical risk. If you haven't confirmed your Sonic Wall estate is fully patched, not partially patched, do that today.
The incomplete patching detail is what makes this operationally frustrating. Organizations applied the patch, checked the box, and are still exposed. Verify the patch. Verify MFA is actually enforced at the appliance level, not just assumed.
Now, let's shift to the geopolitical picture, because the Xi-Putin statement from yesterday deserves more than a headline skim. The joint statement includes explicit pledges to cooperate on satellite internet, software development, and open source initiatives, framed explicitly as reducing dependence on Western technology and building capacity to compete with countries they describe as unfriendly.
From a threat modeling standpoint, this formalizes something that's been directionally true for a while. You now have two major cyberpowers explicitly aligning their technology stacks, their AI development, and their cyberspace governance posture. The practical implication is that the technology bifurcation that's been happening quietly for years, Huawei bans, SMIC restrictions, export controls, is now a declared strategic objective on their side too.
For CISOs at multinationals, this lands in a few different places. Vendor selection and supply chain risk, you need to know where every tier of your technology stack sits relative to these blocks. board reporting, if you're not already framing geopolitical tech alignment as a risk factor in your briefings, you're behind. And threat modeling, the cooperation between Russian and Chinese capabilities, offensive and defensive, means you may need to revisit your threat actor assumptions, particularly if you're in critical infrastructure, defense industrial base, or any sector subject to export controls.
The open source cooperation piece is also worth watching. If you have engineers pulling from repositories that may increasingly reflect Chinese or Russian development communities, that's a Providence question that connects directly back to the Team PCP story we just discussed.
Speaking of fragmentation, European governments are moving away from Signal and building sovereign encrypted messaging platforms. The motivations are legitimate: phishing risk, data sovereignty, vendor dependency on a US-based nonprofit. But the analysts are right to flag the trade-off. Signal is extraordinarily well-engineered. Homegrown alternatives will introduce their own attack surfaces.
For CISOs at multinationals, the practical problem is interoperability. You may soon be operating across jurisdictions where your secure communication stack has to accommodate government-mandated sovereign apps with their own authentication and key management architectures. That's a policy and procurement problem that's worth getting ahead of now.
Law enforcement had a good week. French and Dutch authorities, with Europol and Eurojust support, seized 33 servers and took down FirstVPN, a service that had been marketed on Russian-speaking cybercrime forums specifically for ransomware operators and data thieves to evade detection. This is Operation Saffron, and it's significant less for the immediate disruption and more for what it signals about operational tempo.
Law enforcement is getting faster and more coordinated on criminal infrastructure. That's not nothing. It temporarily degrades attacker operational security. They have to find new anonymization infrastructure, new tools. It doesn't stop them, but it raises their costs and sometimes surfaces tradecraft that intelligence teams can use.
Quick note on the vendor side, Checkpoint acquired DeepChecks, an AI evaluation startup focused on validating autonomous AI agents and preventing hallucinations in security workflows. If you're deploying agentic AI in your SOC, and increasingly you are, or you're being sold on doing so, the question of whether those agents are making reliable decisions is not theoretical. This acquisition is Checkpoint's answer to that question. Watch this space. Validation frameworks for AI-driven security actions will be a requirement within 18 months.
Worth noting that the AI said so is not a sufficient answer if an autonomous agent triggers an incident response action that turns out to be wrong. Legal liability, regulatory scrutiny, this matters.
So what's the theme of this week, Jordan?
Trust infrastructure is the attack surface. Code signing, MFA, legitimate developer tools, open source Providence, the things we built to establish trust in our systems are now the things being targeted. Attackers are not breaking through walls. They're walking through doors we built for ourselves.
And the geopolitical layer is accelerating this. When you have two major powers formally committing to building a parallel technology ecosystem, including open source, AI, and satellite infrastructure, the provenance questions that matter for security get harder, not easier. The supply chain problem is going to deepen before it gets better. What I'd tell every CISO going into next week, get a current inventory of your developer toolchain, IDE extensions included. Validate, not assume, your Sonic wall patch state. And if you haven't briefed your board on the Russia-China tech alignment in the context of your specific threat model, schedule that conversation.
And maybe double-check what extensions are running in your own VS Code instance before you close the laptop tonight.
That's Clear Text for Thursday, May 21st. Show notes and links to every story we cover today are at cleartext.fm. If this is useful to you, share it with a peer. We'll see you tomorrow.